Welcome to In My Humble Opinion, a podcast collaboration between the Marketing Society and Publicis Group UK that creates a space for marketing leaders to discuss their opinions on topics affecting our industry, which they think about but they might not always say out loud. You're joining us for our next episode in the series, In My Humble Opinion, There's Nothing More Valuable Than an Idea That Moves the World, featuring Lisa Delaney, Regional Head of Marketing and Lifestyle Europe at Cathay Pacific, in conversation with Alison Ho, Chief Strategy Officer at Publicis London. They dive deep into how global ideas and campaigns can create lasting impact, exploring everything from Barbie to Spotify Wrapped, and sharing insights from Cathay Pacific's Move Beyond platform. From leveraging cultural moments to creating meaningful brand partnerships, they discuss how global collaborations are reshaping customer engagement and brand building. We start with Alison exploring how global ideas can become the most valuable forms of creativity. Over to you, Alison.
So, in my humble opinion, there's nothing more valuable than an idea that moves the world. Now, I know, Lisa, in one sense, that sounds blindingly obvious, but when it comes to marketing comms, there can be real detractors to this view, because all too often I've found people who can see global comms as actually the least valuable ideas, because they believe they're either dumbed down to sort of the lowest common denominator or diluted due to too many stakeholders. It's not just my own anecdotal evidence. Marketing commentators as wise as the Harvard Business Review and Mark Ritson have said they have observed this bias in certain companies. And I wondered, have you come across this kind of attitude working in global organisations as you have?
Yes, actually, I know quite a few people who are quite reluctant to work in head office, and really because of that perceived lack of freedom, you know, the multiple stakeholders that you need to get their approvals. And also there's that risk aversion as well when you're working at head office, right? It can be quite difficult to push the creative boundaries when you've got a lot of people watching.
Yeah, and it's interesting that people do say that thing about it maybe being dumbed down or diluted, because all too often you see that that's exactly the same with local campaigns too, right?
Yes, very true. I mean, for me, I love working on the global brands because I think it is that challenge, and that being able to find that great idea that resonates across markets, that's what actually makes it quite exciting. So it's really very difficult to do, but when you get it right, there really is a great reward at the end of it.
That's right, and it's valuable. That it commercially, it's extraordinarily valuable, which I'm sure we'll come on to talk about later on. I mean, I think one of the things that I've always found so fascinating is that in every other creative sphere, it's widely acknowledged that creativity that sort of resonates globally is actually the highest form of creativity, you know, and whether we're thinking way back to Shakespeare or Andy Warhol or the latest Netflix hits or the latest meme on TikTok, when things trend globally, that is because they have indeed caught the imagination of the world. Netflix constantly is a kind of barometer of, you know, how you can touch people around the world. I think it's amazing that still the most watched things, Squid Games and Money Heist, were runaway local successes filmed in local markets, South Korea and Spain, yes, in their languages.
I was absolutely hooked with Money Heist. I just think it's so amazing how successful that show was. And really, I think that boils down to global appeal, right? The love, the rebellion, that
underdog. Yeah.
Exactly. I think the whole premise of that show as well, you know, relating back to the financial crisis, and it was just so smart in terms of, you know, they weren't stealing from the rich, but they were just going to print some more money. And that was quite a genius theme that I think resonated with everyone, that, you know, whereas during the financial crisis, the banks were able to print lots of money and just fill the pockets of the rich, they actually were not stealing from anyone, but just printing some more money.
Yeah, I mean, I totally agree. I think with some of the key themes you're pulling out there that I think is so true when we think about, you know, brand ideas that move the world. And that's the sort of sense that it taps into a universal truth, something that truly resonates deeply in us wherever we are, and the fact they did it in such an unexpected way. Because you're right, and it's interesting, you know, what you say. I hadn't really thought about the fact, the timing of those shows, mm-hmm, and the collapse of, you know, financial crisis, because at the heart of both of them is that sort of sense of the destructive consequences of sort of capitalism or whatever, and the underdog. But they do it in such totally unexpected ways, don't they? And I think that sort of sense of tapping into a universal truth, but doing so in an unexpected way, they kind of give you the fame and feeling that ideas, brand ideas and comms needs to really sort of move the world. I mean, Squid Games, I mean, again, came back at Christmas and straight back into the top 10. Apparently it generated something like $900 million in value for Netflix. Wow. after buying it.
But I think also the music was amazing as well, right? Mm. When you look at that Bella Ciao, Bella Ciao,
yeah.
And the fact that it was actually a protest song and that it originates from Italy and the rice paddies, the women working there protesting from it. I think it's just amazing to use that music in such a powerful and emotional way as well.
Yeah.
That also translates to all the brands.
Exactly. And that whole thing, again, when you start thinking about, and we'll come on to talk about brands now, but the importance of distinctive brand assets for global brands and global comms. And, you know, you can't think of either of those shows without thinking of either red jumpsuits or pink jumpsuits. I sit here today in a jumpsuit. Maybe I've just been watching too much Netflix over Christmas. But I think it does just go to show that in all these other spheres, from Shakespeare to streaming, there is nothing more valuable than an idea that moves the world. So why should it be any different? And when you look at branding, of course, we know from Interbrands, you know, top 10 brands, top 50 brands, from Kantar's, that, you know, it is global brands that are the most valuable, whether we're looking at Apple, Microsoft, Amazon, Google, Nike, Coke, Mercedes. These are the ones, and newer people like Airbnb, that time and time again, they are the most valuable and they are truly resonating globally. Let's think a bit more about those brands. Of those sort of real blockbusters that I've mentioned, are there any that you particularly admire, like you wish you could have done? I always think that's a good way of thinking. Do you admire something? Like, what would I love to say I've done?
Oh, absolutely. I think Guinness is actually one of the ones that I really admire. And I think for so many different reasons. One, that they're so continuously creative while still staying really true to the brand, right?
Mm-hmm.
And as you said about the assets, using your assets really well, they just really tap into that black and white and really also looking at different sports occasions and different occasions in life. They make also a little bit of fun of things. So maybe it's a bit of the Irish, right, coming in where that look.
No bias.
Yeah.
No bias there, Lisa.
No
you
bias.
May be detecting a strange accent from Lisa. There's Irish underneath a Canadian that's lived all over the world.
Exactly. I can't get away from it.
No.
But, you know, hashtag looks like Guinness.
Yeah.
I mean, that was also a lot of fun, wasn't it? So, but also, you know, when I think about the thing that really sticks out in my mind is the surfer ad, you know,
mm-hmm.
and that's all the way back from 1999. And it's so creative and so just visually arresting and impactful. And it's just something you continue to remember. So I love that part of it, and so creative and just that they continue to evolve the brand also with changing consumer tastes and things. So now they have Guinness 0.0.
I mean, 0.0 is phenomenal. How they've made it that creamy at 0.0 is quite beyond me.
Yes.
But I think I'm glad you've called out Guinness, because it's one I have a huge amount of respect for. And of course, coming back to what we were saying earlier about how, you know, some people would say that it's difficult to do ideas that move the world. It's difficult to start from that premise of thinking about, you know, looking to talk to multi-markets. I mean, the brand idea at the heart of that, you know, the universal truth is that people both sort of respect and aspire to be bold enough to carve their own path. That
mm-hmm.
that sits at the heart of Made of More. And, you know, they've flexed that in so many different ways. And, you know, the IPA papers and stuff like that have been written. They've quantified the value of that idea to be $1 billion.
Amazing.
And the actual comms is delivering a return on investment almost twice the category norm. And, you know, a lot of people would have looked at that as an insight, bold enough to carve your own path, and said, oh, that's, you know, that's diluting it. That's just looking for it. Absolutely not. They've taken that. They've stayed true, consistently delivered it. And I think it's a really good example. I think one of the ones that I would love to have done, I just would love to have, I mean, you know, I'd be super rich if I was really Airbnb. So they've totally nailed a universal truth. You know, again, far from being a lowest common denominator, this idea of it being a highest common factor, I might come back to that again. People who work with me, as you do, know that comes in and out of conversations. You know, they could so easily just have been about renting houses to save money. That was true everywhere that it was operating in the world. But instead, they built that brand idea on our deep desire to belong. And I remember reading an article by Brian Chesky, obviously one of the founders, and he just talked about the fact that renting a house is just renting a space, but a home is where you belong.
Yes.
And that core thought of belong anywhere just is set at the heart of what they've done. But then they've flexed that again, you know, as a universal truth, flexed in really interesting ways. And whether that's about don't be a tourist, be a local, whether it is never be a stranger, But they've also done really interesting things, I think, coming off what we're seeing hugely in screen tourism, you know, where people have watched the white, you know, the White Lotus Hotel effect. You know, they watch programme, they go there. They watch Harry Potter, they come here. We watch Lord of the Rings, we go there. And they've jumped on that. And you can, you know, they've themed listings that are as sort of as Instagrammable as they are nostalgic, whether it's the Hawkins family house in Georgia or the Beetlejuice mansion, et cetera, et cetera. So, you know, I think just that core truth, that core brand idea of Belong Anywhere. And of course, it's been hugely successful for them, you know, revenue over 9 billion, growing at about 20% a year. I think they've slayed it.
And that ability to evolve and develop, right? Just like characters in you know, Netflix, is that whole being able to evolve your brand and develop it, to have that kind of big idea insights, but actually to flex it in so many different ways that you can continue to keep it as a singular truth that is sustains time.
Yeah. So is there anything you've seen more recently that you think that got some brilliant learning for ideas and brands that move the world?
Oh, absolutely. When I think back on the last year or two, really, the one marketing campaign that really came to mind is Barbie.
Oh, I love that.
So, you know, I think it was so well executed. And whether you're a Barbie fan or not, you know, you really couldn't have missed it. It was everywhere, literally, on socials and the internet and physically as well. And I think it was just so fun and relatable and easy for people to join in as well, right? So what they were really able to do and why it was so successful was by leveraging, you know, the reach of social media and influencers and engaging with their fans, that they really created this cultural moment and everybody wanted to jump in on it. And, you know, there was the hashtag Barbiecore promoting your fashion and beauty trends.
Yeah.
And I think hashtag Barbenheimer. I mean, that was brilliant, wasn't it?
Kind Absolutely.
Of took a life of its own, really. But I think also, you know, tapping into what you were saying about nostalgia, right? One of the key factors of this film was really that they were able to tap into that kind of nostalgia, but with a bit of a modern twist. So again, kind of evolving to how society and culture is moving.
They had that wonderful bit in the movie, didn't they, where they just went through every single set and every single outfit that had been available. I think it was my favourite, like, 3-minute section of the movie.
Yeah. And the colour pink. I mean, you couldn't have missed it, right? All the brand extensions. I think for me, all those partnerships and extensions, I think the timing of that must have been just critical, right? How they executed it, all the different, how that breadcrumb kind of strategy. I think that's something I would take away, like when you're dealing with partnerships, how can you do that so well? But as you were saying about Airbnb, I think one of the most fun things was that being able to book Barbie's dream house.
Could you?
Yeah, with Airbnb.
Next time on the West Coast? Was it West Coast or where in the
world? I think it had to be.
Yeah. Surely.
I think, unfortunately, it was Malibu. But
that thing you're saying about they were sort of everywhere, it was interesting because the CMO, Michael Moses of Universal, I mean, they've just done it again with Wicked, right?
Yeah.
It is that same sort of thing where they have, I think this is really important when you think about brands and brand ideas that move the world. They kind of, if you can engineer cultural saliency like that, mm-hmm. That's where you get onto, you know, that is really resonant. That's fame and feeling together. And he had this brilliant, I'm going to read it out. I brought it in because I thought it might be interesting. He said this thing about Wicked, but it could be equally true. I mean, they learned from Barbie, right?
Yes.
Which is, he said, we live in an environment where monoculture doesn't happen in the way it used to. So you have to be everywhere. If you're chronically online, you probably saw everything. He's talking about Wicked. Mm-hmm. But there are so many people who aren't, and we need to be wherever they are in the consumer journey. So just like with Barbie, what they did with Wicked, of course, over 400 partnerships. So whether that was being able to walk into Starbucks and have, you know, a green match with green froth on it. And in fact, he himself in that same article, interestingly, he talked about those partners, but he talked about, you know, working with Starbucks as the grail. So you think about engineering cultural saliency.
Yeah.
And, you know, you do that with Starbucks and you're on your way. But they also, they had Lego, Emerald Cities. They did it across the board. And I think that thing that they learn around, as you said, there was Barbiecore, that you could book the thing. Again, like you look at how clever they were in what they released socially. And you could either do the dance with the choreographer person doing it. I mean, you know, holding space to defy gravity. I've never even seen the movie.
Yeah.
And I know what that means.
Yeah.
So they were really clever in backing lots of different things that could set fire to it socially. I think that sense of how do you engineer today for cultural saliency? Mm-hmm. Obviously, a lot of brands do not have the kind of money that they have. But, you know, across the board, what you see is, I think it was Weber Shandwick Collective did a study with the IPA where what they looked at was, obviously we know from the long and the short of it and all published things that, you know, emotional advertising delivers greater returns. We know that fame does. But those that can get to cultural saliency, that's like the best of the best. You know, that's where you're seeing the biggest returns of all. So I think there's real learning from that. And it makes me think of another one that...
I love the way that they, you know, it's not just online as well. I think that's really important as well, like integrated and really being much more than just everything digital, that you need to be able to see it.
Yeah, so that's what exactly Starbucks, Lego, apparently they were selling sweatshirts of Shiz Academy, or I didn't see the movie yet. Yes. So it's amazing I know so much about the movie, given I have not seen it.
I have seen it.
And I think another brand that I've observed that is definitely finding ways to move the world is Spotify Wrapped. I mean, I think this is just an extraordinary phenomenon, because in one of the most saturated markets, moments of the marketing calendar, December, it has become a pop culture phenomenon, you know, that is fast becoming, I think, almost a new Christmas tradition. So I'd actually love to see the numbers on how many Gen Z share their Wrapped versus send a Christmas card. certainly if my kids are anything to go by, you know, definitely Wrapped is winning. And we know that, like, 2023, over 50 million people actually did share them, and way more millions. You know, that's like the size of Spain. You know, every single person in Spain having shared their Wrapped. And again, it's just really simple, though, isn't it? Like, at the heart of Wrapped is a really simple insight, which is that music has always been a way for people to express their identity. And that's where, again, I come back to what I was saying at the beginning about, I truly believe that the most valuable idea, there's nothing more valuable than an idea that moves the world. And you do need a key insight. And this sense that you just get to dumb down insights when you go global. You know, you could look at, well, you know, music is a way of expressing your identity and go like, yeah, people drink cold drinks on hot days. But it does have meaning as long as you find a way to explode it unexpectedly.
Yes.
Now, in case there's any listeners who are unaware of what Wrapped is, it's a personalised recap of how a Spotify user has listened over a year. And the personalised insights are presented in like really fun, shareworthy graphics. So I think what's so super smart about it is it not only tells the user something about their listening, and in my case, I would never share it because it is way too embarrassing and full of guilty pleasures, but it also enables them to share it with other people. I mean, it is truly
that's
sharing your identity, right?
Yes. And I think it's interesting how many other brands are trying to copy that, right?
Now.
Yes, exactly. It's like, how can you create these graphics? I think I saw something on LinkedIn as well. But it just doesn't have the same impact. And Spotify are so smart with how they've used their data and their insights. And they've been doing that for quite a while, haven't they? I think they did Out of Home years ago, where they used some of their insights. So I think really smart use of culture and ideas.
Exactly. And it's become now this thing that is trending organically with, when is it going to be released? I mean, even, again, my 21-year-old told me he'd done that the other day. So it is that thing of the engineer for cultural saliency, but they've done it because they've got something at the heart of it that is just a really simple human truth. So are there, let's move on and talk about experience of campaign, our own campaigns that have moved the world. So obviously you and I have experience of working on Cathay together. It would be really wonderful to hear you talk about Cathay and Move Beyond.
Yes. Well, for anyone who doesn't know us, Cathay Pacific is a global premium award-winning airline. So we're actually founded in 1946. So we've been around for a while. Maybe some of the younger generation don't know us, but we have been around. And our home and our hub is Hong Kong. And we fly to almost 100 destinations globally or around the world. And actually, we were the first airline to win the Skytrax World's Best Airline 4 times. And we were a founding partner of Oneworld, which is one of the airline alliance. So we've been on a little bit of a journey. So I started at Cathay in 2019, and I had really joined after a 3-year transformation program. And that was what resulted in our Move Beyond platform, which was something we launched, obviously, pre-COVID. And that came out, don't mention COVID to us, to an airline. But really, this came about, you know, through a lot of research and insights and kind of soul searching, right? Like, who are we and what do we want to become? And the aim of this, you know, we want to be one of the world's greatest service brands. So not just an airline. So also looking outside our industry, I think, is also quite interesting. So it's all about service. You know, we're a premium
airline.
That's
what I love about Move Beyond, is that it just, in two words, totally nails the human truth and the product truth, you know, about challenging what was standard and expected, but it does it so inextricably, building from a kind of Asian expertise and service origin. Just two words. Those are always the best, right?
Exactly. And I think it just marries that, as you said, that premium experience, the personalized service that you get. We're so known, Cathay Pacific is so known for its service. But then also we were the first, we were very innovative. So it's that movement, isn't it? That's quite interesting.
Yeah.
So, so when I arrived, obviously, in 2019, we launched the successful campaign and, you know, moved beyond. Everything was brilliant until, obviously, we had to stop advertising in 2020 when the pandemic came. And probably a lot of people are not aware, but we were dark then for about 3 years because, obviously, Hong Kong and China, they only opened up in March or April 2023.
So, were you darkest the longest of any airline?
I think we had to have been because, you know, all our competitors, everybody in Europe and America and everywhere around the world were pretty much still advertising. So we had a long way to kind of build back up again after the pandemic. So when we came back again, the first global campaign that we did was actually called Feels Good to Move. So it was the real evolution and reiteration of Move Beyond, right? So what was interesting about it was there was some kind of negative surveys in terms of Asia, right? 35% of adults in 15 countries said they never wanted to fly again.
Wow.
Yeah, that's just, you know, astounding, really, when you think about it. But for us, really, this Feels Good to Move was really built out of the human truth that there's an innate urge to move and that it feels good to move. So the campaign is really about...
Never has it felt so good to move.
I know.
We can all remember those first times for our break for freedom when we kind of... I remember walking through an airport and they had like a temperature sensor as you walked through. And I was like, oh my God, please let none of my family or myself have developed temperature between London. I think it was only Menorca or somewhere.
Yeah.
But, you know, you walk through that thing and you were like, yay! So yes.
We made it.
Yes, absolutely. Brilliant insight.
Yeah. So it's been a hard journey for us. But I think what was really good was this whole, you know, as you said, building on the Move Beyond platform again and that reiteration. And that new campaign was all about the joy of movement and in different everyday scenarios. So whether you're riding your bike or hugging your partner or, you know, tapping your foot or whatever. And really, it was very fast paced. So a little bit like TikTok. So again, kind of moving into that movement and motion. And we used Move Your Feet, which is the music by Junior Senior. So I think what was really good about that was we had, you know, about hundreds of variations of the creative that then were able to work across all the different markets. So that taking a big global idea and then being able to localize it and really use it well in the different markets. And the results were really impressive. So we had 500 million plus impressions worldwide and 72% more people likely to fly with Cathay and 4.9 million passengers flew with us in the first three months.
That's really impressive.
Campaign.
And that was across the, that was a global.
Yeah. So it was really good. And then I guess in Europe, we actually were really proud to work with Publicist London, obviously. So I think we did some really great work in terms of, you know, using those assets, as we talked about, like what are the things that are really true to the brand? So our jade green is something that's quite distinct. Mm-hmm. So we really leaned into that with some of our out of home and creative and using the music as well. So where we had some out of home, we used the music in King's Cross, for example. But I think one piece we're probably the most proud of is Flight Path.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Which was something at the Outer Net. You came and saw it. And it was quite amazing because it was such an immersive creative.
So the Outer Net, for people that don't know, is a sort of installation space on Tottenham Court Road, which is, it just hosts young, well, artists. It's like a free exhibition space, but it is very digital. It's entirely digital projections. It's a very immersive space.
Yes, it's amazing. And I think we created very quickly, I have to say, I think within 4 weeks, some amazing creative that actually we used 3D imagery. We used real-time flight data. We created original music. And what was amazing was actually to see people's reaction, all the oohs and ahs and everybody.
People clapping. So basically in this thing, you see a flight take tracking and then you see it land. And people are, everybody is like literally staring at the roof and then people are just clapping when it lands. And you talk about like, yeah, touching people emotionally. It was really lovely to watch.
It was hilarious. I think one of your creative directors was saying what he loved the most was someone turned around and said, oh, it was an ad.
Yeah.
I think that was the biggest form of a compliment.
Yeah. And it was picked up, wasn't it, as far away as Japan yeah. and it's looking at being repurposed in other places, right?
Yes, yeah.
And I mean, to save your blushes as well, I think it's worth noting that the work that you did in Europe to land that new global campaign and things like Flight Path, absolutely, you know, you earned the, in fact, we had a lovely time celebrating this win in Hong Kong last year. You won Best Region at the Global Cathay Effectiveness Awards on back of really impressive results. So, you know, increasing consideration web traffic by 20%, returning the business to share growth in this region when you've been dark for so, so long. And, you know, you think about the other home brands you have in this market, BA's and the Virgin Atlantic, et cetera. It was really impressive. I think it was exactly as you said, the way in which you took that idea and really flexed it for Europe, yes. But then added those top spins as well. And you've been busy doing some more for the coming year, haven't we?
Yes. Well, I think another exciting project that we've done together is really about the partnership with Lloyd Webber Theatres. Yes, fantastic. First major global partnership outside of Hong Kong. And I think what we love is that proposition of, you know, the airline and the theatre, and the magic starts when you take your seat. So what a fantastic kind of platform that we've built on as an Accenture's move beyond, obviously. And we've been able to really execute and create some amazing creative within the spaces. So obviously every theatre within the group is quite different, right? So we have to keep within the keeping of the theatre. So for example, you've got the London Palladium where we have the Cathay Suite. And in there we have some very immersive screens that almost takes you on a journey. So you're leaving from the street outside and you're as if you're leaving from London and you're flying again towards like Hong Kong or Sydney or Tokyo. To everything for Gillian Lynn, where we have these amazing windows and digital screens on the escalator. But I think another cool one is actually at His Majesty's Theatre, where we have an oil painting. So the creative that we've done is actually looks like an oil painting in a gilded frame.
It's stunning. And it just keeps landing, you know, that central proposition of the magic starts when you take your seat, which is, again, so true of the entertainment, as well as other things on board, and so true of what you find. And I think, again, I remember being so impressed that this is the first part, you know, we've talked about the importance of partnerships. We've talked about the importance of breadcrumbs and cultural saliency. And I think one of the things that's really interesting about this is the fact that it is the first partnership outside the home market. So obviously there's partnerships in Hong Kong, Rugby Sevens, big art museums, etc. But you have managed to make that happen. And I take my hat off to you because often, again, the people who will detract from ideas, international creativity to move the world, are those people who just think it's going to be too difficult with stakeholders. And like we always talk about, and you know we do talk about, you know, we give safe passage to bold ideas. You know, it's not about washing them down. And you absolutely gave safe passage to proving the worth of a partnership idea outside home market. And I think that's, you know, how do you go about doing that? Because, you know, an idea can only move the world if it exists and it has got through the system.
Yeah.
And I wondered how you did that, because that's important for other marketeers, agencies who might be listening to this, think about how do they take new ideas and make them fly when you've got freedom within a framework, that hasn't been in the framework.
Absolutely. I think, one of the most important things, obviously, is stakeholder management. So I think everybody who's been to London has been invited to the theatre just to see the whole potential of it. But I think thinking, first of all, is really strategic. So making sure that whatever you're coming up with actually aligns with what you're trying to achieve globally. Mm-hmm. So that was one of the most important things. And then what is it, how can we stand out from the competition? So finding that niche and aligning it with the actual truth and the things that are true to the brand. So, for example, we had won Skytrax World's Best Entertainment System, so in-flight entertainment, the year before. And so it was something to capitalize on. And also this is a niche that we could own, right? So, and it's a space that you don't maybe expect us to be. So whilst other airlines are sponsoring football teams, we're not going to be spending millions of dollars on that. So I guess knowing your resources is really important as well. And I think that all came together to help build a business case and then really negotiating the terms of the partnership so that we really maximized every part of it and were able to basically build the brand. But at the same time, we're building Cathay Lifestyle, which is our loyalty program, and it's quite new to Europe. So again, it was like building on that platform and making sure you're strategically aligned.
Yeah, and I think what's so wonderful about it is, you know, we've talked about whether it's Spotify Wrapped or you know, some of the Guinness social activations, whether it's like Barbie or Wicked's partnerships, you know, it's about deepening people's experience with the brand.
Yes.
And that's exactly what this does. I mean, I know you've told me before that you've got kids can go to dance class, you know, Matilda, you know, if you're a high value customer.
Member. Yes.
You know, I think that's fantastic.
Yes.
And it's, you know, I think having worked in this market before Cafes Well on Virgin Atlantic for years, I think what a lot of people might not realise if you don't know this market is the reason why a region like Europe or regions outside the home market are so important is because you have to fill both ends of the pipeline, right?
Yes.
You don't want flights going
one way.
You can't go just one way. So that again is why these results are so important.
Yeah. And as you said, that loyalty, right? Building up your loyalty with the high-value members and our diamond members and being able to activate, it's really important.
Yeah, and I think you're up for an award, aren't you? Isn't that up for an
we
award?
We are, yes. We're up for an ESA, European Sponsorship.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
Award.
And also you've done work, haven't you, where we've done work where we've started projects here.
Yeah.
And then they get, you know, looking at what a kind of what does a value proposition look like if you're a luxury, you know, a high-end premium brand? And then that's work that may well now be adopted and run globally. So, you know, it's freedom within a framework, but you can sort of start.
Yeah, I think that's the nice thing about working at Cathay is that we do have that freedom within mm-hmm. the framework. And that's why we've been able to do these different partnerships, build up on the move beyond, do tailored work, creative work here that resonates with our markets, but still stay within those brand kind of guidelines, I guess.
So we've chatted about how together we've helped Cathay inspire and move the world to get moving again. And I'd like now to talk about another travel-related campaign we did here at Publicis London, which moved the world to travel. But this time it inspired hundreds of thousands of people to visit a small part of a small island
Ooh.
On the very edge of Europe, Northern Ireland. So I think it's also about giving this as a Marketing Society podcast, because this is a case study that won at last year's annual and very well-respected Marketing Society Awards, which we're delighted about. So let me just take a step back. And I think it pulls together a number of things we've been talking about. So Game of Thrones, which is still the most watched TV. I mean, we've talked about Squid Games or Money House. Or Game of Thrones is the daddy. Is the daddy. It's still the most watched show anywhere. And that was actually filmed. Lots of people kind of at the time might have heard a bit about Croatia, Black Beaches of Iceland maybe. But it was filmed across 25 locations in Northern Ireland. And given the phenomenon of that show, there was a really simple objective, which was to partner with HBO to make Northern Ireland's contribution to Game of Thrones known to the world and entice fans to visit. So yes, the most obvious thing would be you can visit the world of Westeros in real life, the medieval castles of Northern Ireland, bring Winterfell to life, stunning harbours, like Pylade, Dark, hedgerows. Literally, you can ride, if you'd like to, or walk down, you know, that road in Northern Ireland. But we didn't just want to say Game of Thrones was filmed in Northern Ireland. That would just
be boring.
Pigging backing on passion the fans already had, right? And given that incredible feeling in fandom, we wanted, you know, to basically deepen the fans' experience. That was the truth of this. People weren't just watching and going, that's a beautiful landscape, I want to go there. This is a thing that spawned so many fan groups on Reddit and other things. So many people, if you look on, have had tattoos. You know, I mean, the fandom is extraordinary. And Tourism Ireland, which is responsible for marketing across the whole island of Ireland, at the heart of their brand proposition is joyful immersion. So what a brilliant brief.
Mm.
Given we were trying to deepen that experience, and I think it's interesting, again, some of the other things we've talked about and sort of cultural saliency and things not just being comms, but being more than that, whether it's the stuff you're doing with high-value members or whether it's the partnerships Wicked are doing with Starbucks, is we decided to create a set of fan tourist attractions. And we kind of did them in three acts, we would say. Act one was doors, act two was tapestry, and act three was stained glass. So much as we created experiences to deepen fans' involvement, we built them out of the crafts and artisanship that is sort of as legendary and has that sort of sense of time immemorial that the show itself had. So the first thing we did was created six carved doors out of wood in pubs, and it formed a new tourist trail, which places as far as Contiki created a tour that you'd go, like, literally people as far as Japan and Australia were visiting to go and do it. Our second act was a tapestry. Imagine Bayeux tapestry. It was its inspiration. It immortalised, just like the doors in the pubs immortalised key scenes from each episode. And with both of these, what we did was we basically tapped into some of the frenzy about Game of Thrones, we forget this now because, you know, now you can watch it on demand everywhere, was basically what I would call a lack of plot armour. So you had no idea who was going to get whacked when, which gave it its real edge of its seatness. And we tapped into that by immortalising the very latest episode just as or just before it dropped. So we'd let a bunch of fans in to and film them seeing this door, or we'd show the latest, the next stage of the tapestry. So, you know, those are very powerful. And the final act was rather different. It was for the final season. So it was actually about kind of a goodbye. So we put stained glass windows, huge stained glass windows, all through Belfast, one for each clan. And this time what we did was we looked at what had been the most searched, shared and discussed scenes that involved those clans. And that is what those incredible windows were made of. Yeah. So again, we were building this thing of fame and feeling, you know, tapping into that emotion, making it famous by doing it in a really unexpected way. Not it was filmed here. And it reached 283 million people around the world. And it had that cultural capacity. I mean, hundreds of thousands of new visitors to Northern Ireland across that time. But my favourite result, what kind of tickles me for some strange reason, is that that cultural saliency lives on. So we're still moving the world with those. People are still visiting these attractions. You can go right now and book a trip for 80 quid of a tour of those stained glass windows and get 4.5 scores on TripAdvisor. Isn't that amazing? Like,
that's
5 years
incredible.
On.
Yes. Well, I can confirm that my mum and my aunt went on one of those tours. And she's come all the way from Florida. So, and she's Irish.
Yeah,
so
and,
you can imagine.
Yeah, and you can see people posting on Instagram. So I find, I mean, obviously not the same degree, but it's incredible that when you invest in these, invest longer term. And of course, I think it also really helped deepen the partnership between Tourism Ireland and HBO. And, you know, it was just 18 months ago, they opened the Game of Thrones studio tour. It's the only official Game of Thrones studio tour in the world. Yeah. So I think that was a really powerful example, again, of tapping into what's really at the heart of that show, what's really at the heart of Northern Ireland. How can we do it in an unexpected way and build some capital? Another brand that we work with that we're hugely proud of the work we've done with them is Heineken, who Publicist Group works with around the world. Now, it was really interesting hearing you, Lisa, talk about freedom within a framework, because they aren't the same words, but it's a very similar principle with Heineken globally, where there is a core brand idea, which is all around refresh your world. And that's really about refreshing people's social lives and kind of overcoming any barriers that exist towards social life. So much as Nike elevates and refreshes sport, Heineken has always and will always elevate and refresh socializing in inventive ways. That's where it's kind of playful wit. We often talk about the Heineken twist. That's where all that comes from. And I think refresh your world is true to all Heineken campaigns that we create globally, but it really does flex. So, for example, it even flexes not just globally, but some as business, some as business consumer. So I think one of the campaigns that we're very proud of over the last 3 or 4 years is called Back the Bars. And, you know, there's just a truth that when the world suffers, bars suffer. And boy, have we been suffering from COVID, cost of living crisis, etc. And so all of these things have been putting great pressure on bars and pubs. And Heineken decided to actually, during COVID, take the idea of supporting bars and make it their sort of central brand purpose for that time, called Backing the Bars. And what they did was lots of different things. So, for example, they paid you, if you think about European, particularly bars, you see all the shutters come down outside the bar. And what they did was those bars were really suffering from being shut, and they used those shuttered bars as advertising space. And that was one way of helping fund those bars. They also, there was often quite a lot of boycotts when certain bars or restaurants opened. You'll remember the whole thing in the UK about Rishi's Dine Out for Less campaign around that time. But across the world, there were places that people were beginning to boycott bars that were opening up. And Heineken did a really clever thing where it basically advertised those bars that were being boycotted with a real playful wit. And then as the cost of living crisis became more of a thing that could be a threat to pubs and bars, last year what we saw was Heineken really helping some of the oldest pubs in Dublin, actually, and across Ireland, by making a campaign that really saw them as living museums. So those are lots of different ways in which Heineken has actually helped back bars. And in that way, it kind of helps to refresh people's world. But it's putting its money where its mouth is. In fact, what that campaign delivered was, you know, more than 13% of bars in choosing to have Heineken as their supplier. We also saw 7% volume growth across that period. We also saw trust really growing across that period. But you can also have a lot of fun with this idea. And I think we really did have a lot of fun with Heineken UK last year with something called Heinecare. I don't know if you saw that, but basically a key barrier, I guess, to enjoying yourself when you are watching England play is that, you know, you spill your beer. And in fact, England fans spilled nearly 5 million pints of beer the last time England played. That's a lot of fans losing out on a lot of beer in the celebration. So to coincide with last summer's football spectacular and to protect fans from this unavoidable beer spillages, we created Heinecare, the world's first beer insurance policy, where if you had spilled your pint, you could go up to the bar and there was a mechanism that allowed you to get another one. And I think what this really shows as well is how Heineken is really committed to showing that being a real fan isn't about how you look, it's about how you behave and express your love for football. And in the UK, we know that expressing your love for football can be pretty dangerous for the beer. And that's why we decided to take on the crucial job of protecting fans' beer. And this idea really took off. I mean, it only ran in the UK. And I have to say, the whole thing where people actually do pour their pints where goals get scored is quite a UK thing. But it resonated everywhere. You know, we reached more than 30 countries, over, you know, 15, 16 billion coverage reach, and thousands of pints claimed. But I think Back the Bars and Heinecare give you two examples of how you can move the world in a way that's absolutely true to refresh your world, but flex it in very different ways. When I think about what some of the kind of key takeouts we were talking about earlier before we started, you were sort of saying you think continuity is very important for you, isn't it?
Yes, absolutely. I think you need to be able to recognise the brand, right? So you need to have some kind of continuity, really tapping into those assets that are distinct, that really build the foundation of your brand, I think is really important, but then continuing to evolve and develop. So just being, having that continuity and being consistent, I think doesn't have to be boring, right? So you can still build on that platform, but it is your target audience needs to still be able to recognize you and come along with you on the journey.
That's right. And I think the other thing for me that's also so important is what's the universal truth? That's what gives you the feeling. I think what do you do with it's unexpected, which gives you the fame and ideally beyond fame, true cultural saliency would be really important. And I think it was Truman who said, you know, it's amazing what you can achieve when no one takes credit. Or worse to that effect. I may have probably misquoted him. But I think that's so important, isn't it, for building global brands and ideas?
Yes, it definitely takes a village. I mean, there's so many people involved and there's so many assets and so many aspects of marketing now. You need to rely on all teams and your agencies are part of our partners, right? So we rely a lot on you guys to help with our execution and also challenging us and to create the best work. So it is team. You can't do it without a team of people.
Yeah. Sure. So I think we're pretty much done. I think the only other thing that might be worth touching, you know, just reflecting on is, of course, the other reason why, you know, ideas that move the world are valuable, of course, is because they're very efficient too. Yeah. They're long term, they're consistent, they're efficient. And I mean, I don't know how you've found coming back this year and there are other people that you've met, but I don't think I've met a marketeer yet, no matter how well their Christmas was or wasn't, isn't looking at this year going, it's going to be a really tough year. And I mean, I know looking last year, you know, Marketing Week did a survey that said, you know, nearly half of all marketeers' experience has their budget has been squeezed. I'm surprised it's only half. McKinsey did one that showed that company boards are demanding an average of like 8% reduction, up to 20%. I know, you know, how are you finding that? And, you know, are you finding that too in your own business? And when you talk to other people that almost the need to create and drive to brand ideas and brand comms that can move the world is more important than ever from a commercial perspective.
Yes, absolutely. I think for us, obviously working in an airline, you probably know that the profit margin is quite slim. So we're always looking for ways to be more effective with our marketing budgets and how do we repurpose. So I think sometimes as marketeers, we get a bit bored, you know, mm-hmm. We're like, oh, I've seen that so many times, we don't need to do it again. But actually, sometimes it's about what can I do to change it and make it better. And I think the outernet is a great point where we've actually repurposed repurposed it. Mm-hmm. So we use it for the Feels Good to Move, but now we're really using it again for some of our tactical campaigns. And we've really seen that some of the work we've done with Publicis London, actually creating tactical that is a little bit more, yeah, just spending more time, I guess, working on those creative assets. So we've seen it's been a lot more effective and driven sales. So not just at the top, but actually in the bottom of driving our sales on the website. It's made a big difference.
Which is why I think we could probably finish there and head to the pub maybe, Lisa.
Excellent.
But I think we've hopefully explained why, in our humble opinion, there is nothing more valuable than an idea that moves the world.
Thank you, Lisa and Alison, for this fascinating discussion on ideas that move the world. A particularly compelling insight was how successful global campaigns like Move Beyond can evolve and adapt while maintaining their core truth, from the innovative use of partnerships to the importance of cultural saliency. It's clear that ideas that resonate globally create extraordinary value for brands. Their discussion of campaigns from Barbie to Spotify Wrap demonstrated how the most valuable ideas are those that can move the world while staying true to their brand essence. You can connect with our guests to learn more by checking out our show notes. Our industry is filled with many brilliant minds with thought-provoking views. We can't wait to bring them to you. Our next episode of In My Humble Opinion will be coming soon, and find out our series of content on the same name over at the Martin Society website.